Series called, say it with me, Bow. This is the last one and in the message series. And that's how we preach. We put together series, we as in my wife and the team that works with me. We come up with all the Bible, but what's a new way, a creative way, you know, especially with Christmas. My goodness, how can we look at Christmas? We've looked at it 30 years here. I've done this about 30 years now, so you know, here we go again. What can we see different? So first time ever, I focused on the worship. First time ever. And so it's amazing when you just sort of look at something from a little different perspective, you can get some pretty good messages out of it. Amen? So I've enjoyed this series. Had a lot of you tell me you've enjoyed this series, and I appreciate it. You can get all our stuff on the website or PastorGarySermons.com. Go to it. Click it. Hear them again. You can get all our notes just like you see Roger today. Everything that he creates, we put it right back out there. People use it in Bible studies. Churches use it. We'd love for you to be able to study with us, from the computers. It's cool. It's all about the what. Say it with me. Worship. Do you think Christmas really should all be about the worship? Yes or no? Yeah, that's what it should be about, right? Amen. That should be our perspective. That's why at Fellowship, we have so many events. We have house scrambles. We have open houses. We have Christmas Eve services. We do all kinds of stuff. We have toys being given to this. We've got prisons we're working with, different stuff. Why do we do all that? Because this is all about Jesus, man. This is incredible. This is fantastic. And we should get that way and excited about it. It's all about him. It's all about the worship. So we're looking at the Christmas story this year from that perspective. Let's take a little walk down memory lane, not long, just a little bit. Mary's song of worship. She wrote a song. She said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." So how did Mary worship? Say it with me. She made God big. Okay, if you want a small God, then you keep doing like you're doing, and God's not that big a deal, he don't matter, and he don't love you, and he don't care, and he can't do this, well, good, you'll always have a small God. Congratulations. Amen? Or you can start focusing on how great God is, how incredible he is, his creation, the fact that you can breathe, the fact that you have family, the fact that you have life, whatever. And all of a sudden, wow, you're pretty big. You hearing me, yes or no? Oh, yeah. So she made God big. And if a 15, 16-year-old girl can do it, you can do it. Amen? It's incredible. Wrote a tremendous song right there in the scripture. And we preached on it. Then we saw Joseph. Joseph's walk of worship. How did Joseph worship? Say it with me. Joseph made God true. When even his own head couldn't understand and get wrapped around, okay, yeah, my baby has been pregnant, you know, my wife's pregnant with the Holy Ghost. You know what I'm saying? And then he's got these, you know, I'm sure contemporaries, people around him, you saying, what, Joseph? You saying, like, you tell me again? Your wife was like pregnant with like God's baby. Would you say that again to me, buddy? You know what I'm saying? You know what Joseph did? He wrestled with it because he was all man. He was not some super saint. He was all man. But Joseph made a decision. I'm going to believe what the angel said. I'm going to believe what God said. And so Joseph became that dad, a solid dad, who followed God's truth. And that's how he worshiped. Okay? He might not have done a big dance or nothing. I can't see him doing it. He's a carpenter. He'd probably knock you out. But God was true. And when he would hear the heckling about his son being a bastard child, excuse me, I believe, I hope he popped some of them in the mouth. That's just my opinion. But, however, I believe he just kept going. Amen? Because God was true. God was true. Amen. Cut off your phones. We love you, but cut them off. Amen. Come on. Here we go. Shepherds. Simple steps of worship. That's what we looked at last week. How did the shepherds worship? Say it with me. Shepherds made God known. Who were the first human visitors to visit the newborn king.
Shepherds, dirty, stinking, ill-mannered, horrible people, generally speaking. That's what people thought of them. They were despised, despicable people.
That's what the book of Genesis says. Okay? God said, good, they're perfect candidates. I'll choose them. They'll be the first ones. And you know what they did? They went and saw. And when they saw, they came back. And they told everybody, listen to me now, come on. They told everybody what they had seen and what they had heard. They made God what? That's an act of worship when you share what Jesus has done in your life. When you share Jesus Christ with someone else. When you share your testimony with someone else. That is worship. You are worshiping. God is proud of that. That's my son, right? That's my daughter right there. Amen? Look at their life. New creature in Christ Jesus. That's who they are. Amen? And when you celebrate that and talk about that, that is what? I thought I had to fall down the floor and flop like a chicken. No, you really don't. Are y'all hearing me? Okay. Come on. You might wonder why I say that line, fall down the floor and flop like a chicken. I never said that before. Till somebody came to this church and said that's how they worship their church. They fall down the floor and flop like a chicken. I can't get out of my mind. They've been saying it ever since. Sorry about that. Excuse me. Amen. Come on. I just don't know about all that. Let's keep going. Here we go. Come on. Come on. Here we go. I'm sorry. I'm not well today. Here we go. Today's message. Wise men. Wise men. How did they worship? Well, I spent time in my office looking. Wise men, say it with me, value worship. One more time. Wise men, do you value worship? These wise men did. We're going to talk about them today. See what we can learn today. Now, the shepherds were simple, uneducated men who dwelt in the nearby hills of Bethlehem. They didn't come from very far away. However, the wise men were mysterious. They were educated men, scientists, who lived in faraway places from the town of Bethlehem. How do they worship? What are they going to do? Let's check it out. Wise men. Matthew 2:1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of, say it with me, Herod the king, behold there, help me now, came wise men from the, will you say it one more time? Wise men from the, did they come from the west? One more time. Wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Let's learn a little bit. We don't know their names. Who are they? Don't know. Never told. Okay? We don't know the number of them. And I know many of you, yes we do, there was three of them. We don't know the number of them, okay? Why do we say three? It's a good guess because of the gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Have you ever given somebody more than one gift? So just because there's three gifts doesn't mean there was three of them, right? Say yes or no. But I like three. I don't want to mess with we three kings of Orient. I don't want to screw the song up. I like it. Here we go. But we really don't know. It was based on that scripture. Matthew 2:11, they presented unto him gifts, say it with me, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I'd like to just take a little break right here and just talk about the wise men for a second. Who were they? We really don't know. What do we know? They came from the east. They came from the east. In ancient Jewish historical documents, not the Bible, historical writers who wrote history tell us that in the east, now there were wise men, there were magi from all over, and many of them were kooky. Many of them were, you know, astrologers and soothsayers. But the Bible specifically says these came from the where? In historical writings, there is a school of wise men or scientists or learned men of the skies and the heavens that came from the east. It was an eastern school, and it was actually in Babylon, which fits because that was in the east. Okay, it's about 700 miles away from Jerusalem. Interesting thing about these wise men, they were educated, scholarly men, but one interesting thing is, what very, very, very wise man was taken captive as a young boy along with some others to Babylon? Can you remember his name? Daniel. It's believed, thought, that these wise men somehow came from a school in Babylon that somehow might have roots back to Daniel. Do I know that? I don't know that. I'm just trying to tell you some things that are out there. It's interesting. It makes me understand a little bit better why they would have come. Y'all hear me, yes or no? Why would y'all have come? Y'all stupid. What y'all doing? It's in some star. They're going to go 700 miles. That's a long way, isn't it? I mean, now you don't get in a bus or train or plane. You got a camel or you're walking. It's horrible terrain. Something must have been inside of them. Y'all hearing what I'm saying this morning? Something from somewhere must have been in them. So many believe that they were from this school of Daniel. Something else is interesting. Let's keep moving. They followed the heavens. That's what they did. They followed. These men were like our esteemed scientists today, many that study the heavens, the stars, things that just blow our mind. These are these kind of guys. They followed the heavens. Wise men. They're totally opposite of the shepherds, aren't they? Say, if they're talking about shepherds, they're like, what? You know what I'm saying? But the funny thing, I bet those shepherds did spend a lot of time looking up at the stars, don't you? And it's interesting, too, when you look back at data, we didn't have in that period of time, there were not the lights, electricity, and things like that. So the sky was just illuminated incredible at night, not like it is around our cities and what have you. Also, there was no pollution. So you could see the stars, just incredible. And so these guys, they just marveled at the heavens and saw the stars. There's something interesting, too, and I might be getting ahead of myself here, but something interesting I came across as well is, why do we celebrate Christmas on the 25th of December? Most people would agree that they don't think Jesus was born on the 25th. Well, something I heard and came across was that with technology today and with the Milky Way solar system and the stars, you know, stars have been around a long time. Y'all know that, right? Say. And the planets. Well, with technology today, you can give somebody a date. You know, like I was born May 24th, 1962. What was the heavens like the night I was born? With a computer, because it's in stone, basically, the way the solar system works, they can backtrack it and tell you exactly where the stars were the night I was born. Did you know they can do that all the way back to 2,000 years ago? And it's incredible, because either 2 or 3 AD, there's Jupiter, which is very bright, and there's a star next to Jupiter. On December 25th, bright, right above Jerusalem. And this is just scientific stuff. You know I ain't doing this. I don't know how to do none of this mess. But I read about it and I saw the presentation. It's incredible. And the reason for the celebration of Christmas, at least it's a good thought, is because it's the wise men that presented gifts on December 25th, most likely when Jesus was about 2 years old, 2 or 3 years old. Y'all with me? Have I lost y'all already? Y'all like looking at me like sideways. He don't know no science. I can see what you're saying. Come on. Here we go. Come on. So anyway, let's keep moving. They followed the heavens. They said, where is he that's born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, or while we were in the east, and we are come to what? There's the bow I'm looking for, to worship him. They followed the heavens. Let's read a little bit of scripture about the heavens, Psalm 19. The heavens declare what? The glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech. Night unto night, they're showing knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth. Their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which as is a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Some other scriptures. Psalm 8. When I consider the heavens, thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon, the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Romans 1. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him, God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen. How in the world can you not believe in a creator when you go outside at night and look at the stars? I don't know how you do it. Amen? How's all this stuff happen? How's gravity happen? How are you on this planet ain't just flying out of here some, you know, this afternoon? How's that happen? Why didn't a star hit your house recently? You understand? Say. It's incredible. That's what the Word says. The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they, us, you, me, we, are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, when you know there's a God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. I believe all that just happened by a big accident, a big bang. It just blew up. That's a vain imagination right there. And their foolish hearts were darkened, professing themselves to be wise. I had a reporter call me recently and ask me some questions. And I says, why is it with technology today we're hanging on to some old archaic theory by some old man back in the 1800s? Why are we doing that? Darwin, why aren't we getting with the program? Everything else gets with the program. But science is so stuck on this stupid theory. Yeah. Why? I mean, when everything else is moving forward and we believe, oh yeah, I understand DNA and the retina and the fingerprint and all this technology, and yet we stay with some old guy's dumb, stupid theory. We wouldn't stay with anything. We'd go, that guy's old. I don't buy that anymore. I don't believe that. But you know, we stay with it. Dumb. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into images made like to corruptible to man, to birds, to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. When you let your mind get there and say, there is no God, there's no telling what you're going to say and how we came to be. That's why God gave us his word, friend. The Bible says God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and they worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. These were wise men, though. Amen. They saw that. And they were on a quest to find God. Amen? That's a big difference. The wise men were not fools. Say it with me. These were what? Yeah. And you'll be a wise man too. If you'll get on a quest to find God, to search God, to see him, to worship him. That is a great journey. I was thinking in my office this week how sorry I feel for a scientist who's brilliant. And he sees these incredible things, but he spends so much of his life, he has to just explain it away, and he has to keep hooking it back up to some archaic Darwinian theory. Instead of letting his you see everything, and to be able to just understand that you have a creator and a phenomenal God. I mean, just to be unleashed and to be able to see God. To me, it's sad. It's really sad that they have to be stuck like that. Y'all hearing me? Don't know if it makes sense to you, but it made a little sense to me. What they saw was incredible. We got to keep moving, Raj. They followed the heavens and their hearts. Raj thinks I'm getting on to him. It's like, you're the one telling me to move, dude. Here we go. They followed the heavens and their hearts. Amen? That's what I feel bad about scientists. You can follow the heavens, but fellas, because you're so stuck, you don't get to follow your heart. You hearing me? Come on. These guys were able to follow the star. They could follow it as they were learning, as they were journeying at 700 miles. Their heart was thumping. Bum, 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 bum. We're getting closer, man. That's exciting to me. It's thrilling. Don't downplay the miracle of God's creation and God's handiwork, church. Are y'all listening to me this morning? Don't downplay that. Enjoy that. Go out to the ocean. Look, lift up your head. Look into the star. Man, wow, you're an awesome God. When hell's coming against you, won't you get out some night, go down to the beach and just look up like that and fight back. Amen? Fight back. But you have a great God. Are y'all hearing me today? Let Mary help you make God big again. Wow. Follow Him with your heart. Celebrate creation. Value what you see around you. The wise men did. It took them on a journey. We don't worship the heavens. That's the problem. The stars are not running your life. We've got a series out there. Get it sometime. We talked about this, okay? The stars aren't. You shouldn't read the paper every day. Ooh, the stars, what did they say I should do? That is stupid, okay? It's crazy. Don't do that. We don't do that. We don't worship the heavens, but we worship God Almighty. Jesus Christ is His name, who made the heavens. You know what I'm saying? Come on. How do I know that He made the heavens? Colossians 1, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and what? For Him. And by the way, why doesn't a star hit your house? Here's the answer. And He is before all things, and by Him all things what? Are held together. Amen? Jesus. So these were wise fellows, man. They're on a journey to worship. Amen? Are you feeling it? Come on. Here they go. Wise men, say it with me. They put some kind of value on what they saw up there. Did they understand it all? Well, they were asking questions, so probably not. But they did have some kind of knowledge. They were smart fellows, and they also had some teaching or training from somewhere. And so they're on this journey. Let's look at the story now. Saying, where is He? Wise men are saying, where is He that's born King of the Jews? Say it with me. For we have seen His star in the... And we're come to what? And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, these are teachers of the law, teachers of the scriptures, people that would know about some of the questions they're asking about this star and worshiping God and what's all this thing, what's happening here. And the scribes and the chief priests were together, and Herod demanded of them, where should Messiah be born? And they said unto him, in Bethlehem, which is 5 miles outside of Jerusalem. For thus it was written by the prophet. That would be Micah, and here's his prophecy. Verse 6, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, he inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you found him, bring me word again. Say it with me. That I might what? Come and what? You think he meant business? Yes or no? No, he's lying. He didn't want to worship at all.
These wise men do. Y'all ain't going to sleep on me yet, are you? Thank you. Don't do that. Here we go. I'm the sleepiest in the room. Wise men value worship. Let's look at it. How do wise men value worship? And I'm going to just share, just unpacking some things that I saw. How do we value worship? How do wise men value worship? Number one, we're going to read some scripture now. So here they are. They're coming now. They're close. How did they value worship? Number one, say it with me. How do wise men value worship? They open their stuff all around you. There are blessings to see if you'll open your eyes. You understand? Well, God, he'd been mean to me. I can't believe he did this. Hey, I know I've been there. My mother was murdered. I know what it's like when you say, I can't believe God allowed somebody to kill my mother. I understand that. And as long as I would focus like that, God was little, and God was mean, and God didn't care. But when I stepped back a little and I opened up my eyes, I started to see that God was a good God. You understand? I started to see my whole world does not revolve around one tragedy that happens in my life. You understand me, yes or no? There's amazing things that can happen. If you really value worship, you got to get off that one thing. You got to get off that thing that's keeping you from worshiping God. You have got to back up and open your eyes. And that's what they did. They opened their eyes. They were out there looking at those stars. They'd seen them gobs of times, I'm sure. But they saw something different, incredible. But they were looking, and they saw. And I think that's the first thing. Of course, this is my message. But they opened their eyes. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they what? Saw. You can worship God if you want to. You can value Him if you want to. But you've got to open up your eyes. Y'all getting any message? You understand where I'm coming from? Amen? How many are guilty like me? Sometimes you focus on one thing and it screws your head up. It's not good. And you don't worship, man, when you do that, do you? You get mad, you get down, depressed. No. So they open their eyes. How do wise men value worship? Say it with me. They open their what? Emotions. Let's check it out. So when they saw the star, they what? Rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Listen, friend, you ought to get into worship. You ought to let your emotions. So many times, I could say a bunch on this stuff. Sometimes if the music is a little loud, we like, oh, that's too loud. I don't like that. That's not godly. A lot of people leave churches because of that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Give me a break. I think you ought to get excited about worshiping God. Y'all hearing me or not? Good grief, if we did everything like you want to do it all the time, we'd be boring. You see what I'm saying? Come on, help me here. Okay, what I'm saying, listen, your emotions, is it okay to get emotional? I mean, look, they want to fall down, flop like a chicken, God bless them. I mean, no, please don't come up and do that. That'd bother me. Anyway, no, listen. But I'm serious. Get into worship. You ought to get into worship. It's okay, man. You hear me, yes or no? And I'm really talking about sometimes we just think that that's, oh, I'm just quiet. I'm just not a, and you can be quiet. It's okay. But don't just be locked into something because that's the way you've always been. Let worship unlock you a little bit. It's okay. Amen? Come on. I got a feeling they were like, I got a feeling as they got closer and closer, they'd been on that journey for a long time. Man, you know who ought to be most excited in the church? The old people. You're the closest to heaven than any of us. But the opposite happens. The opposite happens. And I'm just making this up right now as I'm preaching. This ain't in my notes. But you know, the opposite happens when you get older. You get less excited or something. Not the wise men. Not the wise men. More the closer they got to Bethlehem, the more excited they got. I'd love to see more of our older people just get more excited, more excited, more excited. Why? Because you're getting closer to heaven's where you're getting. Come on, why not? King of kings, Lord of lords, I'm getting there. Amen. And that's just the truth, isn't it, say? Come on. They were excited on their journey. They rejoiced with exceeding great joy. So open your emotions if you're really going to want to worship God.
Number three, they opened their hearts. And when they were come into the house, interesting house, was Jesus born in a house, yes or no? No. Manger, stable. That's a clue that Jesus is older. There's another clue. They saw the young what? Not baby. This is the word toddler. So the wise men came from the east, perhaps 700 miles. It takes a while to get there. And the point is that they came to a house and saw the young child with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and what? They worshiped him. They opened their hearts. They opened their hearts to Jesus. And maybe just men, maybe we have more of a problem with this, opening up our hearts a little bit to let God come in and work on us and love on us, be a dad to us, love him back. I've known men, even in my life, I've had a little, it was hard, not easy for me at the beginning to say, I love Jesus. It was just, that's good to tell Jesus you love him. I love you, Jesus. You're in my heart, Jesus. They open up their heart to worship. They fell down and worship him. They worship him with their heart. Not just emotion. Emotion's good. I love it. But their heart. Y'all hearing me? We're almost done. Hang in there. Then what they do? We know this about the wise men. We all know this. And when they had opened their what? Treasures, they presented unto him gifts. Say it with me. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So worship, they valued worship. They opened their eyes to it. They opened their emotions to it. They opened their hearts to it. And they opened their treasures to it. You can say you love Jesus till the cows come home. Do you ever give him any treasure? Say. And I'm not a big guy that pressures you about giving. Give if you want to. It's up to you. But if you really value worship, you will give. You will give. You will give if you value worship. Now, if you value something, if you value it a dollar, then give a buck. Excuse me. But if it's something that matters to you, it's going to show up. I've said for years, our offering is a barometer of our heart. Our offering is a barometer of our heart. You don't have many barometers that can tell how your heart is in line with Jesus. But I'll tell you what. Your offering can give you, can sort of show you the temperature of your heart for God. Y'all listening to me? Y'all just cut me off on all that. And trust me, I was the stingiest one in the bunch in the whole building here. I admit it. And it's my wife that taught me, and I have to probably give credit to her and certainly to Jesus. Anything I have today, any blessings I have in my life, I think flow because we opened up our hearts and started valuing that you matter and you're worth something and you're worth us giving something to you. Amen? They valued it. That's what I saw. You know what I learned? We're done almost. Mary made God big. Joseph made God true. The shepherds made God known. The wise men made God what? That's it. Is Jesus that to you? Priceless? Say. This is a tough message today after Christmas. I know. 700 miles on a camel. Not even knowing where they're going. But they're going anyhow. Because he matters. Amen? Keep looking. One last thing, Matthew 2:12, and being warned of God in a dream, God warned the wise men in a dream that they should not return to Herod. Boys, I wouldn't be going back 5 miles that away. They departed into their own country another way. Something else I'd like to share with you about how the wise men did it. They departed in their own country. Say it with me. Another way. How did they make God priceless? How did the wise men truly make God priceless? Instead of selling out Jesus to Herod, they sold themselves out to Jesus. Yeah, that's good stuff. Yeah, they sold out. How can you know if God is priceless to you? Have you sold out? Okay?
You don't believe in that God and Jesus.
Yeah, I do. You believe the Bible? Mm-hmm. You like to go to church? Uh-huh. Even when I'm sleeping. Come on. Sell out. Amen? Gonna build a church? Yes, we are. We're gonna do it how? Debt free. Sell out. Why not? We only got one life, people. Amen? They sold out. This is great. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What's selling out mean? It means if you've been doing something another way or you've been taught another way that's contrary to the Word of God, you need to get in line with the Bible. Sell out to what the Bible teaches. Amen? Well, I was taught this. We've been taught so many screwy things in church. It's crazy. Why don't we just let the Bible teach us? Amen? Come on. That's what I'm talking about. Selling out to what He has for our life. That's good stuff, man. They did, and I'm done. What did the wise men do? They sold out. They did a 180. I gave this message a long time ago, back this summer or something. But they did a 180. So many Christians, they don't value worship. You know why? Because they do the hokey pokey. They turn themselves around. That's a 360. When you come to Christ and you sell out, it's a 180. You come one way and you leave going another way. The wise men came this way, but they went back a what way? Another way. They valued worship. It was priceless to them. Keep going. They did the okie dokie. Yeah, okay, that's true. Some of y'all remember that, amen? The hokey pokey is where you turn yourself around. The okie dokie is when you tell God, okay, okie dokie, I'll do it your way. Amen? Okie dokie. That's a 180. Okay? That's what we're talking about. They made God what? Priceless! The wise men. We're done. God is worthy of my worship. Would you say that with me? God is worthy of my worship. God is worthy of my life. Now, would you say this with me? You think the wise men were on Herod's wanted list? God took care of that. He took Herod out. Amen? You know your Bible? Praise God. Amen? Follow Him. Wise men do what? Value worship. Anyway, praise God this morning for His Word. Let's praise Him for His Word this morning. Not for me, but for His Word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Good to us, God. Thank you.